I was reading a story of a pastor the other day who took a trip to Indonesia. And as he got off the plane, he was greeted with a number of merchants. If you've been to a foreign country, sometimes you'll see people peddling different things, tourist attractions. Oh, you want to buy a hat, or you want to buy a banana, or you want to buy a shirt. And well, there was a little boy who had a cage, and it was full of cute little monkeys. And he said, mister, you want to buy a monkey? Only dollar. And the pastor said, no. And the young boy continued to follow this pastor. 75 cent. And the pastor's reaching his pocket, and the friend he was traveling with says, you know, you buy this monkey, you're not going to bring it back to the States. They won't allow this. So he says, no, I'm sorry. So they get in their vehicle and they drive back to their headquarters or their bungalow or whatever it is that they were staying at. And this friend says, do you know how they captured those monkeys? Those tiny little monkeys. And he says, what they do is they grow gourds over here. And these gourds, they get about this big, and they cut a little hole in it. And they put a little hole, and they get all the stuff that's out of this gourd, and they just pour it out. Maybe they eat it or whatnot. But they just get these gourds, and then they nail this gourd to a tree. And when they nail it to the tree where they know these monkeys are at, they put a little bit of rice in that gourd. And that monkey goes in, and he goes, as a curious monkey is, he goes in and he feels around in there and he feels this rice. And he gets that rice and he puts the rice in his fist and he can't pull his hand out because his fist won't fit through that hole. All that monkey has to do is let go. But that monkey wants that rice, he has it, and when those men, those hunters, those trappers come to get that monkey won't let go. He says, I'm going to have my rice and eat it too. And they capture that monkey. This morning, there may be things that you are holding on to. Sins that you see as that, oh, this is such a small thing. Or big ones that just like, I can't let go. This morning, I'm going to ask that you do something the monkey wouldn't do. Let go. Let go to what the Lord is showing you this morning. How many of you will openly commit, Lord, you show something to me this morning. You show the sin in my life, that whatever it may be. It may be a good habit that I'm doing, but I shouldn't be doing it because I'm not doing what you told me to do. How many of you will commit in prayer this morning that Lord, you show me, I'll do what you say. Praise God. Let's seal this in prayer. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, so unworthy, is proof of your love. But it goes beyond that. You send your Holy Spirit inside us to say, these are things that are hurting you and they're hurting me. We thank you for that ability to hear you. We thank you for the ability to feel pain when it's hurting. Father, we ask this morning that you would just fill this building this morning with your presence. Fill our minds and our eyes and our hearts with the desire to know you better. Father, we've made commitments when you speak to us. When you tell us areas in our lives that are hurting us, we've made commitments that we'll take care of those this morning. Father, we commit those things to you this morning. In your Son's holy name, we thank you and ask it. In Jesus' name, amen. This past Tuesday, I had to pick up some things at Lowe's, and I was on the phone with one of my sisters, and before you say Steve's driving with his phone, cell phone, it was hands-free, and I have a little compartment for my Jeep that holds it. And as I was talking to the sister, parked in the parking lot of Lowe's, I am seeing that this couple, And it was a strange sight for me. It was a person was there, and he was with his wife. And they had those big carts at Lowe's. I don't know if you've seen them. And it has this big old box on the top of it, looking like one of these brand new lawnmowers. And I don't know if you've ever seen them. They're about this big and about this wide. And I'm watching as this couple, and says, this is an elderly man, and he's pushing the cart. He seems to be okay, but it is ginormous. So I'm watching as his wife goes, and she has a bag. She goes to the cab of the truck. She puts the bag in there, and she goes, and this is a good distance off, probably a good 75 yards, and I'm looking, and the wife looks at him. He looks at her, and she looks at him, and she shakes her head and goes and sits in the truck. And the man just stands there. He's watching, looking, saying, well, what am I going to do? Is there someone that can help? Well, there just happens to be a couple, a younger couple, that passes by this elderly man and just walks on by. And I'm looking, it's like, this guy is not saying a word. He's not asking anything. He's just looking, and that's all. So I said, I hang up with my sister, and I said, okay, what's going on? I'm going to go help this guy, so I'll call you back later. So I rush to the guy and says, mister, would you like some help? Oh, that would be wonderful. So we both together pick up this and stick it in the back of his vehicle. He thanks me, and he was off on his way. He says, well, I was looking for someone. I was expecting someone from the attendant from Lowe's to come and help me. And he was out there a good 5 minutes, and no one ever came out to help. People who passed by didn't even help. And that bothered me. I believe a lot of a great number of people that are like this man when it comes to needs in their life. They recognize they have a need. They recognize they have a problem. But they fail to cry out to the Lord, because it's driven out of an attitude of reluctance, or an attitude of what will be. But they fail to cry out to the Lord in a need of desperation, because they fail to see the outcome if it continues the way it is. I'd like to take a look at some men this morning in the Bible where this was not the case. Areas where men and women saw the severity of their situation and did something about it. And because of their cry, because of their persistence and pleading, they had their needs met. The first event is dealing with some men who had a disease. Today we would call it Hansen's disease. Back in biblical days, it was called leprosy. Now, leprosy is a long-term infection by bacteria. Today we have a cure for it after a number of areas of shots and regimen of, I won't say surgeries, but a regimen of activities that would be required for it. But there is a cure for it today. Its affection would cause damage to the nervous system, in the respiratory tract, skin, and eyes. Imagine what it'd be like to live in those days, separated from people who were healthy. Leprosy would divide families. You couldn't live in the same household anymore. You would have to be living in a leper colony. Day in and day out, you go in and you see people with the same disease that you have, with the same afflictions that you have. That's going to be me in 2 years. You begin to say, man, is there ever anything going to change? Will I ever be healed? What is going to happen to me? Day in and day out, you're bombarded with what you see your possible future is. For the men we're about to read about in Luke 17, they didn't live a life of comfort. Day in and day out, as they saw this, they didn't have the same luxuries that you and I have today. Nor did they have it back then. They were always reminded of their future and what it was going to be like. So if you would, turn to Luke chapter 17. We'll begin reading in verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, this is referring to Jesus, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain city, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save the stranger? And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Here are 10 men that have a problem. If we don't do something about it, we're going to be crippled, laying in bed, wasting away, rotten like a vegetable. No doctor can cure us. No medication can slow it down. We've got to do something. Now, they had heard the reputation of Jesus being a teacher and a healer. Notice the Bible says these men never came close to Jesus. The Bible says they stood afar off. Now, this wasn't the 6-foot social distancing that we have today with COVID. These men were way away. So much so that they had to lift up their voice. Jesus, have mercy on us! They had to lift their voice up. Jesus knew who these men were. Jesus knew what they wanted. And he had the mercy to give and told them to go show yourself to the priest. So why show yourself to a priest? In the Jewish law, if a person was unclean and then was healed, recovered, not necessarily for leprosy, but for some other disease, if they were recovered from that disease, they were to go to the priest and be inspected and were to be offering a sacrifice. So Jesus says, go to him, and when you get there, the priests are going to look at you and need to give sacrifice to the Lord. These 10 men, they head out, they're leprous, disease-infected rags that they're wearing. They didn't have time to change. Imagine the blood and all the infection of an unmaintained rag and the stench that it might have. All 10 men were healed, but only one turns around glorifying God, letting everyone know God is good. You imagine when that man turns around, praise God, I'm healed. I asked for mercy and God gave it. Praise God. Going all the way back. He wasn't one of those, oh, praise God, praise God. He recognized the state that he was in and God took care of him. He finds Jesus. He falls to the ground, thanking him for showing him mercy. I want to bring out two things that is seen in these men and not in many people today. These men knew that they could do nothing to fix their problem. No one could supply their need. There was a desperation to their cry. The only hope was Jesus. do you see Jesus as your only hope? I know a lot of people who instinctively say, yeah, Jesus is my only hope. But he isn't. And you can tell by the way that they live. I was on the internet, on an internet site called YouTube the other day, and I was looking at video clips of officers that were arresting people. People for crimes that they had done. And it wasn't a question of whether they did it or not. It was black and white what was done. They were guilty, dead to rights. And as the officer handcuffed these individuals, you heard all sorts of spewing of profanities and blasphemies and denying of what they have done. And you know what? I heard two or three of these people say, I'm a good church-going Christian. I believe in God. I love God. You can't do this to me. Let me tell you, if I was a bystander watching what would happen, I wouldn't want anything to do with that person. Here, in one tone of voice, they're blaspheming and vulgarity is flowing out. And just after that, you hear them saying, I'm a born-again Christian. God saved me. Well, I don't know what he saved you from, but you sure didn't depend upon him for saving you from your language and from your behavior. Their attitude was not one for asking for mercy. Not a one of those people who were arrested, not one asked for mercy. But of pride of who they were and what they had done. Listen, you and I need to get a grip on recognizing what it means to have Jesus as our only hope. Our only hope. John 14, 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is no other way to be heard by the Father. And I hope that you see that this morning. These 10 men, there was a reflection. Their obedience was a reflection of their faith. Jesus didn't touch them. Jesus didn't say at that point their faith had made them whole. He told them to go show themselves to the priest. Simple obedience in faith to what Jesus had told them. Do you realize how many believers and unbelievers don't see the need to go to God in faith? Why not? Because they fail to see their true condition. In every event that we look at this morning, you're going to see a common thread. It's a word that no longer has any real meaning to people anymore. It's called mercy. Showing mercy is withholding punishment that is deserved. Asking for mercy is recognizing you have done something deserving of punishment. And asking in compassion and for compassion and for forgiveness. These men recognized they were deserving of punishment. They had no merit to the request that they had to be healed. Turn over to Matthew chapter 15. Look at this incident here. Matthew 15. Beginning in verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me. O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Here's a woman who cried out to Jesus, not for mercy for her daughter, but mercy for herself. We don't know if this mother made some wrong decisions in the things that she allowed her daughter to do. We don't know if the mother wasn't a godly example she was supposed to be. We don't know if she blamed herself for the condition of her child, that her child was in. What we do know is that she recognized she was deserving of punishment, but was asking for forgiveness. It doesn't matter if you're in good times right now or difficult times right now. You need to be aware of that great sacrifice, God's Son, that was made for you and me. King David, he had been so blessed. He had just been blessed with a new home. God had taken care of all the enemies around him. There was no war going on, no threat. Things in David's life were going fantastic. But you wouldn't expect a person like that to expect to ask for mercy. Well, at the dedication of his new home, he had some words to say. If you would, turn to Psalms chapter 30. Look at these words in Psalms chapter 30. David asks for two things. Two things in this dedication prayer of his house. Psalms 30, beginning in verse 10. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off sackcloth and girded me with gladness. The first thing he asked for is for mercy. The second thing he asked for is that the Lord be my helper. Things were going good for David. Why would David ask for mercy? He saw himself as a sinner needing of forgiveness. Why would he have asked the Lord to be his helper? Because he knew he needed God's help in battles with sin. You mean to tell me that David had battles with sin? Yes, everyone in this room has battles with sin. Unless you've already given up to it. Then it's no longer a battle, you're a POW. Look at this prayer in Psalms 19. Psalms 19. This one part of a prayer. Psalms 19, beginning, just verse 13. Psalms 19, 13. Look at what David asked for. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Presumptuous sins. What are presumptuous sins? Presumptuous sins are those sins that a person does with full knowledge that it is wrong. Let me give you a biblical example. Take a look at this example in Numbers 15 of what a presumptuous sin is. Numbers 15, beginning in verse 32. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. In verse 35, and the Lord said to Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp, or outside of the camp. And all the congregation brought him outside or without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. This man knew it was wrong to gather sticks on the Sabbath day. He could have done it some other day and it not be a sin. But what made this sin so bad for him to be stoned? I mean, it doesn't sound like much. Just picking up sticks for a fire on a Sabbath day, that's something so small. It's not like you murdered someone. It's picking up sticks. It's such a small sin. It doesn't hurt anybody. Why is this sin so bad? Well, go back up to verse 30. But the soul that doth ought presumptuously. Numbers 15, verse 30. But the soul that doeth ought presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. And that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord, and hath broken his commandment, that the Lord shall utterly be, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. This was something terrible that had been done. It is called a presumptuous sin. Why are presumptuous sins so bad? Because it is despising the word of the Lord. It is an attitude of rebellion and rejection. I don't care what the Bible says, I can do it anyway. Or I know the Bible says it's wrong, but it doesn't matter, I'm saved by grace. What kind of person could reject the Lord that had the kind of love that died for them? It's a person with a hardening heart. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Beginning in verse 8. Harden not your hearts as in the day, as in provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest there be a hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. A person with a hardened heart is a heart, or is a person that no longer will cry out to the Lord. How does a person recover from such a deep pit? The children of Israel had the similar problem. And you know what the Lord did? Because of His holy name, He did something miraculous. And it's found in Ezekiel 36. Let me read this to you. Ezekiel 36 and verse 24, if you want to write it down. For I will take them, I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. And ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and all your idols, and I will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. He will do the same for you this morning, if you let him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior or Redeemer this morning, you can. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can come to Christ this morning and ask him to forgive you of your sins. Repent of them. And he will make you that new creature. Start that new life today. Ask him to be your helper. Others here may be saying, I just can't cry out. I've tried and I just fall. I've cried out so many times. What's the use? Well, it's time to start asking for mercy. This involves admitting those things as sin, acknowledging the condition that you're in. You know what they are because he's told you. He's asked you, he's pleaded with you to repent of them. Come to him and he will give you rest from your troubles. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, that choice is yours. You have this short amount of time because we don't know when the Lord will come back. You don't know when your life may be taken. You have an appointment that you're unaware of. You have a choice this morning to get things right with God. What will you do with the time? What will you do with the voice that's been talking to you? Will you reject it? Will you cry out for mercy and say, Lord, help me? It's your choice. It's your decision. No one can make it for you. It's your individual choice. This morning we're going to have an altar call. If you want to make those decisions here, or if you want to make them in your seat, that's fine. Just make the decision. Be obedient to the Lord this morning. Keep the commitment that you made. Listen to him. Cry out to Jesus this morning. Ask him for that mercy. We do ask for your mercy. And we thank you for it. We thank you for the grace that you show us. Be with those who made decisions this morning. Let your Holy Spirit continually speak to them, showing them your love, your joy, your mercy, your grace, your strength, your healing, your joy. Be with us this week. Let us be the salt and the light that you've called us to be. Let the things that break your heart break ours. Let the things that bring joy to you bring joy to us. In your Son's holy name, we thank you and ask it. In Jesus' name, amen.